Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, we come to you in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ, with nothing but the gospel, understanding what God is going to do for us. You know, hello, everybody. This is KSK Radio Station. I say to you, there's a lot of work to be done, but to God we give the glory. Today we're going to continue, because we're in that tenth, we're in the time of the trumpets, we're in the time of pleasing God. God is setting us free. And we now have our beloved brother, David Allen. David, go ahead. Let the Lord use you.
Oh, praise God, praise God. Yes, set us free, Lord. Lord God. Oh, set us free. It's a liberty. See, we're in a liberty year. It's a jubilee year. 1963.
Jubilee.
God opened the eyes of America to a great evil. One man grows up and had a faith, a simple faith. He was arrested and beaten, discouraged. But he kept standing up saying, no, this segregation is wrong. It's the favor of God. Went to Birmingham.
Hallelujah.
Was greatly afflicted by police and German shepherds and the water hoses. And then and there was a great persecution to try to enforce something that absolutely opposed God's design and God's purpose. So the segregation
Amen.
Laws of America, even though they were invented in a Supreme Court ruling, they served to kill people and to dehumanize people. And this man, through faith, knew that it was wrong. God blessed his faith. God positioned him and purposed him to lead a revival and awakening. And in the fall of 1963, America awakened. That great man went to Washington and made a speech. And you see, we're 50 years from that. So tonight, we're 50 years, and that's a jubilee. Leviticus 25. 50 years, you sound the shofar trumpet across the land to proclaim liberty. To proclaim liberty. To proclaim liberty. To set the captives free. To return the land to its rightful owners. You see, we're going to put... Let me back up. God is going to put it back the way God designed.
Amen.
We're going to watch God put America back the way he designed it to be. No more abortion. No more perversion. No more death. No. We're going to be the fruitful, loving, beautiful society that God intended for this country to be. And it's going to shine a light through this world. God's going to turn America on its ear. He's going to turn it on its head. Every evil that thinks it's going to prevail today will not prevail. We will dance on the enemy's head in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Amen.
The Bible says it. Through God, we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And he promises us, from Genesis all the way to Romans, that he will help us to stand, to dance on the head of the enemy. He will restore all that that stinking liar is taking in the name of Jesus. Jesus rose again 2,000 years ago and was victorious over death. And that old stinking liar is headed to the lake of fire where he belongs. People are realizing, people are coming, people are awakening. But tonight we just rejoice, Father God, in your word. We thank you that you have caused America to come to its knees. We thank you, Lord
Amen.
God, for hearing the cries of your people today as they cry out of desperation, Lord, in desperate days. Desperate dark days. We thank you, Father God, for your promise that when this happens, that when your people call by your name, humble themselves and pray. Thank you, Father God, for your promise. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing now. Tomorrow night is Yom Kippur. Tonight we're going to read the second commandment. Tomorrow night we're going to read the first commandment. We've been doing this since 10 days ago, roughly, was Yom Teruah, the day of the trumpet, Rosh Hashanah. 10 days later comes Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, which is the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the atonement, the atoning price that Jesus Christ paid for all men for all time. The Lord God, we just look forward to tomorrow evening at 7. We'll gather again tomorrow at 7. Brother Will, I'm going to put this phone down now on the ground, and we're going to sound the trumpet blast here over the plaza.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh.
Thank you, Father. Now we go to the Word of God, standing here in between these columns at City Hall, turning now to the book of Exodus in chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, where we read, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me." Verse 18, it goes on to talk about the people's fear. You see, this is the same time that God was giving the Jubilee. Leviticus 25, God gave the Jubilee commandments to Moses, that every 50 years the trumpets are to sound across the land. At the same time, Moses was on that mountaintop receiving these commandments. And the people had to stand afar off, and this is what it says. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. The people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was." See, the fear of God is given to us for our life. The fear of God is given to us that we might sin not. We were given a fear of God. It's the beginning of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowing Jesus Christ, the fear of God. And now we're just going to proclaim out here. There's people staring all over the place, and that's fine. But we're going to proclaim what thus saith the Lord in the Jubilee verse. Are you ready? You ready, Willie?
Amen.
Here we go. Ready?
Amen. Ready.
Proclaim liberty.
Liberty.
Unto all the land.
And to all
unto all the inhabitants thereof.
And there it is. That is the Jubilee verse.
Amen. Amen. Hey! Hallelujah.
There's liberty. There's liberty.
Amen. There is liberty. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Oh. There's a mighty God, Brother Willie.
There is, Brother David. Our God is from the beginning to the end. When we call in with him, there is no end. It's just a beginning. But our God is so gracious. And as we on this radio station, we believe in God to reach the unreached and tell the untold. Jesus Christ is soon to return. So get ready. The time has come. Get ready. As we used to say, get ready, because he's coming.
Yes.
He's going to come with a shout. When he make that shout, like when you blow that horn, So, whoa, my God. Hallelujah. That eastern sky is going to break. You got something there you want to say? Go ahead, David.
Yes, yes. He is preparing the bride. We're in a bridal chamber, and we're being annealed and perfected and refined. Every spot, every blemish has got to come out. Everything that ever happened has got to be taken away. Every coarse word that's ever been uttered, every filthy thought that's ever crossed our minds, every evil deed that we've ever been deceived by the stinking enemy into performing, every false vow we've made, every time we've used the name of the Lord in vain, everything that has happened, every murder, every adulterer, every thief, every liar, it's all got to come out in the wash. It's all got to be not only washed, but completely removed. None of that can be in the presence of a perfect God. And all of that, even today, is being removed from God's children. And many are being called into God's family. There's a lot of new children in the family. And many, many more children coming from quarters and tribes that we would never imagine. People that we would say would never be children of God. And yet God is so great. His tribes are so many. His children are so multitudinous that in this day there's going to be a harvest, an unimaginable harvest. So many are being called in this day. In this day,
yes.
Many are being called. And we will witness the Spirit of God descending on this nation. It won't take a lot of preaching or a lot of fancy talking or teaching. It'll just be the Spirit of God. People will cover themselves and have the fear of God in them and say, oh, my God, please forgive me, Lord God. Please accept me, Lord God. Please wash me. Please prepare me. Please perfect me, Father God. You are the Almighty King. Oh, Father God.
Oh, Father. I see you, Baba, on Sunday, Sika. Lord, Baba, Baba, prepare us, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. Prepare us. Prepare us, Lord. Prepare us. We love you, Father. We love you. Hallelujah. Moshan Dasiki. Hallelujah. 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 From the rising of the sun to the setting of it, I said God is to be praised. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Across the depths, he is to be praised. Across the mountaintops, he is to be praised. There is no God. Hallelujah.
In the firmaments of the stars and galaxies, you see his hand of creation. He's painted the outer space for us. He's painted a things to discover and things to see for mankind to explore, to glorify himself. Mankind might know how great is their God. They might know what a creative, perfect God he is.
Yes.
Lord God.
Yes, indeed. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. Hallelujah. When my soul sings, how great thou art. Hallelujah. And then I look and see all that you have created. That's your hand. Hallelujah. Nobody but God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All yours, Father God. All yours, Father God. All yours.
Yes, oh Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for what you've done today in America. In the seven countries, you have still been God. Oh, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. We adore you. We magnify you. We call you Yeshua HaMashiach. You're the one. Pay the price.
Holy.
You pay the price. You pay the price. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray for somebody out there that needs to come to meet the Maker. Come to meet Jesus. Come. Let me tell you, he loves you. He needs you. You need him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I'm reading the word of God. It says, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, David. Hallelujah, David. Hallelujah, David.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
That soul that's listening, to that heart that's out there now listening and wonders, what is this that Brother Willie is saying? What is this that Brother Willie says that I must come, I must be saved? You see, there is a king of this world, a prince of this world, and he is a fallen prince. He is a fallen king. He's a fallen angel. His name was Lucifer. Today we call him the devil, and he's a stinking liar, and he's headed for the lake of fire. You see, God set up a perfect world and created a perfect garden, and there was just a quantity of life, flocks of birds and herds of animals, and the sea was full, and mankind was in charge of it all and everything, and man could lie with the lion and the grizzly bear, and
Amen.
The man of it all. You see, that's how God designed it, and there was no tragedy, there was no death, there was no 9-to-5 job, there was no even clothes to worry about. It was such a perfect place. You see that stinking liar in there? He made the man and the woman to doubt the word of God, to doubt what God had said about obedience and about death.
Yes. Yes.
Because they listened to that filthy, stinking liar, the world is a fallen place. And now we see what it is so much less than what God designed it to be. But let me assure you that God is not the loser. God was not defeated. God's purpose was not overcome. God had a plan. You see, God set up in the Old Testament the sacrifice. Lambs and bulls and rams and calves, blood. There had to be blood for the remission of sins. For the sins of man, there had to be a blood. Something had to die for sins to be remitted. You see, that's a picture. Now, God was just preparing. He was preparing. He always does. He always announces himself before he does something. This is what he's doing. He's setting up this Old Testament Levitical picture of a blood sacrifice for the remission of sins, with one thing in mind, that one day he would send a perfect lamb, an unblemished lamb. One day he would send to mankind to serve as a sacrifice from the first man to the last man, a perfect lamb. One day John the Baptist was out the River Jordan baptizing people. And along came Jesus Christ, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And you see, Jesus was born into this world for one purpose, and that was to serve as that sacrifice on a cross. And all the wonderful things that happened, and all the people that he raised from the dead, and all the blind that he caused to see, and the lame that he caused to walk, was just a picture of the renewal that he had planned for the children of his in this world. What happened to Jesus was done for a purpose. It was the ultimate justice of God. Someone had to pay. Someone had to fulfill the law. Someone had to take the hell that mankind deserved. And God didn't want it to be us. God didn't want it to be his children. But God sent his only begotten Son, the perfect Lamb of God. And Jesus obediently went to that cross. He was whipped and spit upon and ridiculed and mocked, abandoned by his closest friends, and taken to a little hill outside Jerusalem, Golgotha. We call it Calvary. And on that hill, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And as he lifted up that cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing.
They don't know what they're doing.
On that cross, and he cried out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you see, God forsook him on that cross in order to make a way to heaven for us. God forsook the Son of Heaven, the darling of heaven, in order to make
a way
into his presence, that we imperfect people might one day be made perfect in order to come into his presence forever, evermore. And Jesus died on the cross. And they took his dead body down off that cross. And they laid him in a tomb, wrapped in linen. They rolled a stone on that tomb. Now, that person that's listening tonight with that heart that's breaking, you know what happened.
Yes.
You know that Jesus did not remain in that tomb. You know that Jesus rose again. The world knows. And that stinking devil, he knows. He knows he's been defeated by the resurrection power of God. God restores, God renews, God puts things back the way they're supposed to be. That's what the Jubilee year is all about. That's what happened in 1963 when a great evil was overcome by the faith of one man, the faithfulness of one man, to be arrested repeatedly, to be beaten, to be maligned, to be discouraged, but to get up in the morning and go back out and ride for freedom once more. And you see, God 50 years later is awakening America, and tomorrow is his Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And it's a Jewish feast. It's a high feast of the year of the seven feasts of the Lord. It's the highest. It's the Day of Atonement. And the Jews celebrate it, not even realizing, many of them, that the atonement was the lamb. It was the perfect lamb that was promised to Abraham on his way up to Moriah. God himself would provide the lamb. You see, God provided the lamb for you and for me. And Jesus looks down from that cross now at you, and he asks you, will you accept my sacrifice? Will you accept me? I've given my life for you. Will you believe in me? Will you come to me?
Oh, Lord.
Will you open your heart to me? Will you let me in? Will you make me the Lord of your life? That I can make you a perfect, perfect son of God. That I can make you the heir of the living King. That I can trade your imperfection for my perfection. He's asking you now from the cross. Will you come to me? Jesus says, will you come to me? He wants to restore everything that's ever happened to you. Everything that you've ever done, he wants to remove. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to be risen. He wants you to be with him forevermore. And you can be a child of God tonight. This moment you can be. Just call him, Father God, I give myself to you. I will be your bride. I will be your child. Mold me and make me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me on that cross. Jesus, thank you for bringing your message to me tonight on this radio program. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you.
Amen. 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 Give God the praise.
Welcome.
Give God the glory.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise.
Thank you. Amen. 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 Nobody but God. Lord. Kosha, say, Yama. Yes, Lord. 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 We cry out for someone to be saved. We cry out for that one to be healed of their iniquities. We cry out for the healing of the mind.
Yeah.
We cry out for it. We cry out for it. Someone needs touched by you, Father. We cry out for those who are walking in darkness. We cry out today that a war will not stop as we see it. But we cry out to you because you're the only people. We hide ourselves in you. We hide ourselves in you. And Father, I thank you for the fellowship that we have in the body of Christ. I thank you, Father. We thank you. We realize, Father, much work is done. And we give you the praise. I love you. I love you. I want to upload our love to you and download your love to us. Upload our love to you. Download your love. For your love is good than your love. It paid the price to one. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Somebody on the radio, somebody on television, somebody knows that needs seven confidence, needs a closer walk with you. Yeshua HaMashiach, you're the only true God. You said in your word. You said in your word, Father, you said, you make us, we'll become the head and not the tail. You say you let us be above and not beneath. You said, your word said, you said, to keep your word upon us. We will meditate on your word. We will chew it. We will chew it, digest it, and get strength. Somebody right now needs you, Father. And I want to say thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yahweh. Oh, we love you, Father. Love you, Father. Love you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time spent. Thank you for this well spent time. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo!
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
You are. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Nobody but God. Hallelujah.
Nobody.
Amen. Amen. David, will you be back tomorrow evening with the horn again?
Yes, of course, Brother Roy. I'm counting on it. I'm going to be at downtown City Hall tomorrow. We'll be on at 7, and I'm just going to praise God on the eve of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I look forward to being back with you tomorrow evening, just before 7.
Okay. Well, I want to say to the people that will listen, you will listen to what God has done. God took a horn and let a man make a sound. That sound called the shofar. When it blows, everybody's ears will come open. If you know what you hear, because we're not going to march to the sound of the enemy, we're going to march to the sound of God. And you know, David, I thank you for it and what you've done today and how God has used you and what you've been doing, how you've been talking to people about it. And you've been in jail for someone who's been for abortion. You've been in jail. You've been beaten. You've been lied. But you're still standing for God. You're still trying to reach down and tell the untold. And that's why I thank God for you. I thank God that God is moving in you. I like the way one brother said it. Kenneth Copeland says, he said, well, I have God in me, so when I move, God moves. And when I step back, God step back. He said, well, if I sit down, God sit down. I said, wow. If God shout in me, I shout in God. Hallelujah.
Amen, no amen.
The time has come for the believers, for the Christians. The time has come to do what God has said. Eyes have not seen, nor has it entered the hearts of men and women, that love, hallelujah, their name. God said, I got some gifts for them, and I love them. Hallelujah. You know, David, before we let you go for this time span we have, I thank God for you that we met 4 years ago. I thank God for you. We got a greater work to do. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
All right, brother
William.
Well, all right,
I'll see you
tomorrow evening.
Okay, God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Shalom.
Amen. Shalom. 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 I tell you, God is still good. He's a merciful God. And we just can't put God on second place. God has to be on first place. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I'm privileged to tell the world that there's a man named Ricky Bradshaw, a man that has a word from the Lord. I know he's there. He got
I'm here
for so he has come on and give us the word, my brother. Amen.
Apostle Hunter, amen. It's so good to be with you again this hour, the hour of revival.
Yes, indeed. Hey!
The hour of revival. The Lord God is, he's turning hours into days and days into months and months into years of the transforming presence of God around the world.
Amen.
And we come to give a good report, and we want to ask you and the listening audience, whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the Lord all have some point to bless the people this evening.
Wow, man, I am so grateful, Apostle, that I can be a blessing because I have been blessed by your ministry and the opportunity to share the word of God.
Amen.
And I want to deliver the word that God gave us some time ago about the ministry of transformation. I call it the ministry of transformation. The great revival of today is a revival of the renewing of the mind. In Romans 12, Paul says, therefore, we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is our reasonable form of spiritual service and worship. But he said something that's important to that script. He says, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the hour of transformation, and that means that the church and those who desire to be a part of the redeemed ecclesiastic community of God, is now time for us to renew our mind. Our minds need to be renewed. We cannot approach the transforming presence of God with that old stuff. We need a new mind, a new way of thinking, a new understanding. And to get that, you have to present your bodies as a living sacrifice.
That word
body is not necessarily only talking about our flesh. We're going to talk about that tonight. But it's also talking about the things that our flesh contains, meaning the idea of our mind. It needs to surrender to the transforming word of God. Sometimes we got some junk in our mind, in the religious sense, that keeps the kingdom of heaven from expressing itself. So not only do we need to present our bodies, we need to present our mind, we need to present our souls, we need to present our spirits, we need to present our flesh. Everything that we have is alive, that's alive, needs to be presented as a living sacrifice. That means it has to die to live again. It has to die to be resurrected. For our mind to be resurrected, we got to die to some old things that's hindering us from experiencing resurrection life in the mind. They tell me that only 10% of our brain is being used. What we're discovering in this transforming revival is that God opens the capacity of the mind to recreate, or if you will, to create what God considers to be kingdom ideas. Ideas that will transform life. Kingdom ideas that will transform the economy. Kingdom ideas to transform education. Kingdom ideas to transform government. Kingdom ideas to transform the aspects of life around us. Transforming Hollywood. Transforming entertainment. Transforming electronics. Transforming science. Transforming osteology. Just absolutely transform. Every time God does a transforming revival movement in any land, in any generation, in any era, may it be in the Enlightenment era or may it be in the Stone Age era, when God does revival, he creates a new mind that brings life. Sometimes he creates new medicine that will change the destiny of the lives of men. Almost every revival, God has raised up his people to be the solution for the world's problems. Today we need a renewing of the mind because the world is in trouble and the only solution is the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is within you, see? So now for us to get this new mind, we got to present our minds, present our bodies, our souls, our spirits. Everything about us needs to be presented as a living sacrifice. Let me give you an example. There are some ideas we have in church life that's not very attractive to lostness. Lostness, the, you know, they're not attracted to the church like they used to be. You can go into some churches, and what they were doing 45, 50 years ago, they are still doing today. And they used to have 1,000 members, but now they only have 50. The population has gotten younger, but the church has gotten older. It used to be that you would find the average age in a church is around 35, 45, 50. The average age in many churches in America today is about 70 years of age, 65 to 70. The average age of the church is 65, and the average age of the people that live in Fifth Ward, for example, here in Houston, this inner-city community, the average age of the church members in that community are in their 60s. The average age of the people that live in the community is 35. So that means that we are still doing some things on that Hammond organ, or we're still doing some things in the deacon's prayer ministry. We're still doing some things in our preaching style that used to work 50 years ago, but it doesn't work today with that population. In fact, there is no anointing. What we need is a new, fresh anointing, and that is what transforming revival is all about. And when that anointing comes, he gives us a new mind where we start thinking creatively about what the kingdom of God wants to do through what he has presented to us. That means, for example, when you read the book of Joshua, you see transforming revival. God brings Joshua and the children of Israel, who are all under the age of 20, except Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else is 20 and under. And a lot of folks, many people don't realize that the guys who went into the promised land were 20 years of age and older. Everybody else had died off in the wilderness. Now, God had created a new pathway for them. So what does Joshua do? He presents his body as a living sacrifice. The Bible says he went, and when he went to see what the challenges were for the people of Israel to be able to conquer the first city of conquering, which was Jericho, he met a man standing there, and Joshua asked him, "Who are you? In fact, whose side are you on?" And the man told him, he says, "I'm not on your side, and I'm not on their side. I am the captain of the Lord's host. Take your shoes off, because the ground you stand on is holy ground." And Joshua took off his shoes. See, he now is presenting his body as a living sacrifice. He was standing up, thinking how he's going to conquer Jericho, couldn't come up with any solution. But once he humbled himself, once he got on the altar as a living sacrifice, took his shoes off and got flat on the ground, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself was standing before him. And so he bows, not to an angel, but the captain of the Lord's host here is the pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the incarnate, if you will, the incarnate Christ that came before the resurrection, before the New Testament. He was there. There was no nail marks. There was no nail prints in his hands. There was no thorn prints on his brow. There was no piercing hole in his side. It was the living Christ who had yet gone to the cross. And he bowed and surrendered as a living sacrifice. And the next thing that happened, Joshua got a new idea. The Lord said to him, listen, Joshua, I want you to march around the walls 7 days, and on the seventh day, I want you to march around the wall 7 times, and then I want you to shout and blow your trumpets and have everyone to shout. And then he said, go back to the camp and consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will give you victory. So they go back, and they had everybody to circumcise themselves. Now, look, I know that circumcision can hurt a 20-year-old for sure. A baby, maybe for a few days. But a 20-year-old, that's pretty tough. But in the few more days, they were called to march, meaning they had to get their body sacrificed, where they would trust in the admonition of the Lord. They had to trust in the innovation of the kingdom of God. They couldn't trust in their spears. They couldn't trust in their strength. They couldn't trust in their ingenuity. They had to trust in the kingdom of God and the strategy that God had given them. Now, they did that, and you know what happened. The walls came tumbling down, because that's the kingdom strategy. Okay? Now, watch this. Try doing that today, the same thing they did. No walls are coming down, because that was a strategy of the past. So we want to take that strategy
to the present, and that's not the strategy. That's called denominationalism, see? Denominationalism is this. What we did in the past, we're going to teach others to do that, and we're going to keep repeating it, see? So what we got in the Baptist church and the Methodist church and all these churches and the charismatic churches, what happened back when Azusa Street was here, see? It's, well, God's going to do something new now. God wants to do something fresh now. God wants to do something great now. And for us to do that, we got to get flat on our face before the captain of the Lord's host. We got to surrender everything in our minds, everything in our hearts. We got to take our shoes off, for the ground you stand on at that level is too high for you to stand up. You got to get down, see? That's what he means by presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And that's a price to be paid for the kingdom of God to say, listen, I want you to go out in your backyard, and there's a bush right there, and that take that leaf off that bush, and that leaf got more potency in it. It's been in your backyard for hundreds of years, but you just didn't know that that one little leaf on that tree is the solution for lung cancer, the solution for leukemia, the solution for all the cancers that we have, skin cancer, right inside of that little leaf. See, that's why we need transformer revival, because it not only transforms the people to go to heaven or to join our churches where lives are being changed, but when the body of Christ becomes the Joshua of its day, carrying a new mind and a new heart and a new command and a new commission and a new fresh anointing from the Lord, he starts pouring out his spirit upon his people, and he gives them solutions to transform education, to transform science, to transform the medical center, to just bring about transformation where it becomes an obvious indication that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's when you start having spiritual renewal in every domain of life. That's the word of the Lord today, my brother. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yes, sir.
I want to go to church to church every morning at 5 o'clock. We are going from church to church, and people are prostrating, and we're seeing God come down and give pastors new ideas. And we've seen God giving his people new ideas in the Ailey's Independent School District. And they come up with a ministry called Comet, which is community outreach missions education team that includes the superintendent of schools, that includes every outreach ministry in Ailey, every church in Ailey, and every apartment community is a part of this, and the children are being healed because of this one idea that God gave the superintendent of schools, and he called 50 churches to come together and said, God, put this on my heart. He didn't know that we had been praying every morning at 5 o'clock, coming before the captain of the Lord's host, falling on our face and say, oh, God, we present our bodies. And all of a sudden, he sends us a new superintendent. He doesn't have a doctorate degree. He doesn't even know how he got to Ailey. All of a sudden, he's calling us to come and meet with him. He says, I got a feeling I need to ask you pastors to come and pray with me. So we meet with him, and we go to a hotel together. He didn't want to do it in the school district offices. He said, we're going to go to a hotel, and we're going to pray. And so we fell on our faces, and we began to pray. And then 2 months later, he said, I want you to meet me, because the Lord told me to tell you guys, we need to start apartment outreaches to the children. We need to get the YMCA to partner with us. We need to get our principals and our two school teachers in the elementary schools to partner. You know? We need to get the parents and the business leaders. All of a sudden, they came up with COMET, Comet, Community Outreach Missions Education Team. For the first time in the school districts of Texas, they were partnering with everybody to bring missions back to the community. See? That has never happened. Not in my generation. And so we are seeing this as a tool that the Lord has given us that is now taking steam with other school districts around the state of Texas. They are now hearing about Comet. And now I got an email just today from the superintendent. He has no idea that out of Transform Revival, God plucked him out of Stafford School District and put Mr. Chambers, not Dr. Chambers, put Mr. Chambers in the position of leading the AB School District. He has no idea that God gave him a new mind to deal with these issues of the lack of money in schools. This guy's got a mind that's rolling, but he doesn't know that there are believers who are presenting themselves before God. They're presenting their bodies, presenting their lives, presenting their heart. They're repenting and calling upon God and taking off their shoes. Big pastors, little pastors, fat ones, skinny ones, black ones, white ones, brown ones, yellow ones, they're all getting on their face. Not everybody, understands that. But those that God is using to transform a life are those who present their bodies as a living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
Yes.
This is what God is doing today. He's giving us new revelation from Romans 12 that this is our form of spiritual worship and service. What is it? It's not the choir rehearsal. It's not preparing the sermon.
No.
It's preparing our hearts. It's preparing our hearts.
Yeah.
It's preparing our bodies. It's preparing our minds to just abandon everything. Say, Lord, I don't want my old mind. I want a new mind. I want your mind. Teach me your ways, for your ways are higher than our ways. And God begins to wake up a man or a little boy or a little woman. He wakes them up in the middle of the night, and they're walking the streets praying. Nobody knows why. They're standing outside at 3 o'clock in the morning going, oh, God. And the next thing you know, through that person, God brings transformation in the community for education and for medicine and for the church. You just never know. That's the price that needs to be paid. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice is a price that needs to be paid. And my friend Matthew Bismarck said this, Apostle, and he said it so profoundly. He said he was listening to somebody else, and he heard the Lord say that the heavens are given to the highest bidder. And that's what presenting your body as a living sacrifice is. You're bidding for heaven to come through your life, not just in it, but through it. And for that to happen, you have to present your entire life, everything you got, past and even present, to the Lord as nothing but dung. And you're standing there before him and saying, like Isaiah said, woe is me. And when he said that, he got the Lord's attention, and the Lord gave him a new mind. From chapter 6 in Isaiah, he got this new mind. He started hearing what the Spirit, what the Lord was saying, what the Son was saying, the Trinity was saying up in heaven, who's going to go for us? And he raised up his hand like my little grandson did today and got in trouble. I want to do it, teacher. I want to do it, teacher. He said, Lord, I hear you. Send me, God. Send me. And what happened then? He gave Isaiah a new mind. In chapter 7, he says, what did he say? He said, listen, Isaiah, tell him this, that a child will be born and a son will be given, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And from chapter 7 all the way to chapter 66, we get the new mind of God through Isaiah, that the Messiah is going to come. That's because it was in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. That means he had to take his shoes off that day when he went to church. And he got flat on his face on the carpet, stretched out his arms, and said, I'm done, Lord. Woe is me. I am I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And even the people in the church, Lord, from the pulpit to the pew, he started acknowledging that God was so holy that none of us was so right. He says, oh, God, we need your help. And the Lord brought transformer revival to his lips, transformer revival to his heart, and then gave the prophet a new message that prophesied that the Messiah is going to come. 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 Prior to that, he was saying, woe to Egypt, woe to Syria, woe to Israel, woe to you, woe to you. All of a sudden, he started presenting his body as a living sacrifice, and he said, woe is me. And everything began to change, and that's what the church needs to do now, is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice for the new movement of God to take hold of us, that he would use us this day in Israel, use us in Egypt, use us in Fifth Ward, use us in every state, in every capital, in every educational district, every financial institution. But it begins with a prostrated heart in pure worship and service unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. Take off your shoes tonight, saints. Wherever you are, you ought to be like I'm in my back room. I got my shoes off. I'm ready to prostrate. I'm ready to get low. I'm ready to let him know that I'm undone. I'm ready to say, God, your will be done, not mine. I'm asking that his kingdom would come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That requires a prostration of humility and a prostration of our hearts.
Praise
the Lord. We must do that thing. We cannot experience this kind of move of God with our old intellectual and traditional mindsets. We need a new mind.
A new mind.
And we need a new heart. And a
Lord,
new spirit.
I thank you, Lord, for what you brought today. You know God is so good. His mercy endures forever.
Here you mentioned the word mercy. Watch this. Paul says, therefore, as we reflect on the mercies of God, we need to present our bodies. See, we got to recognize how merciful God was to graft us Gentiles into his vine. He cut his vine open and took us and stuck us in it.
That's
God's mercy. He kind of put a hold on Israel so he can get us. It's called the church age.
Yeah.
That's why God said, I'm gonna put my son that I love so much. I'm gonna put this boy Jacob. I'm gonna put him over here and let him sit there for a while because I want to go over here and take care of that one lost sheep. See, that's mercy.
Yeah.
He's going after that one lost sheep. That's the Gentiles.
Yeah.
We lost.
Yeah.
The Jews got it made through Abraham, circumcised, ready to go. They believe. They carried it. But now they're being disciplined by the Lord. Oh, but he loves Israel. He loves Israel. He hasn't forgot about them. We need to keep our eyes on Israel because something's going on. But the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be that new entity that brings that about. That's why the American church is so in love with Israel, because God is saying, okay, I'm going to prepare the way with the Gentiles. I'm going to give them a new idea how they're going to host Israel. You're going to put them on the phone call tonight and talk about Israel tonight. See, he's trying to get that message out so we get a new mind through David. David came on the line today. You see what I'm saying? God's moving, reminding us, I have not forgotten about Jacob. I have not forgotten about my children Israel. But I thank them. Because I want to get you in here, and they would not try to get you. They didn't like you. They said, no, Gentiles can't. But I brought about a movement from my people who were Jews, who became people of the Messiah, and they brought the gospel to the Roman Empire. Now look where God is today. Negroes and Chinese-os and Spanish-os and all the olds. Now we're part of the kingdom of God, and now he's wrapping it up. That we've gone from 8,000 different language groups. We got less than 1,000 language groups that have not heard the gospel yet. 1,000. That means we've done 7,000 languages in the last 2,000 years. But guess what? Over the last 100 years, we brought the gospel to 6,000 new languages.
Yes.
Just in the last 100 years. And Israel becomes a nation in 1948 after being scattered and broken by the Roman Empire in 70 AD. And Daniel prophesied that would happen. And when 1948 came about, everybody said, that's the time that Daniel was talking about. It shocked everybody. God began to give a new mind, give him new ways, new thoughts, prophetic thoughts, thoughts that are in his mind, that are in his word. He began to now break it forth to let us know that Gentiles will be included. Gentiles will be included. So now God's going to do something that you and I know they're having problems in Egypt. They're having problems in Syria. They're having problems in Fifth Ward. They're having problems in the White House. They're having problems in the school district. They're having problems in the economy. They're having problems even in the church. But the problems that God is creating is the problem that causes us to say, woe is me. See, that's the problem that we really do need. It's that problem of recognition that I am the problem. And when we get that, those of you who are listening to this consultation today, this prophetic word today, those of you who are listening need to know that God has given this Apostle Hunter an idea, and that idea is to get it on the radio, get it on the internet, get it on the phone call, God is getting that message out. I'm about to do something. You need to present your body. I'm going to bring the walls of Jericho down again, and you need to prostrate yourself, then I'll give you the strategy. And when he does, the whole world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and King and glory. But we wait for the people of God to take off their shoes, take off their old mind, get rid of the chandeliers and get rid of the Hammond organ, get rid of Azusa thoughts. Just go beyond that. He wants to do above and beyond Azusa. He wants to do above and beyond Pentecost. He wants to do above and beyond Jericho. He wants to do above and beyond what he did back then. He wants to bring global revival now. Global revival.
Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is on its way back. Jesus is on his way back. This is why we got to get our bodies before him today. and keep supporting Apostle Hunter. Keep supporting ministries that work the transforming presence of God. Keep them going. Support it. I told Apostle, I said, my church, when they found out I was doing this, they said, what do you think? I said, I need to make sure that we make sure that when we get ready to do our budget, we have some money so we can give to Apostle, because he's on it right now. He's got us talking about what God's using him to talk about, not something old, but something new.
Something new. God bless you, my peace.
Something new.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Amen. You know, something I thank God. Something. Amen. Oh, anybody got something to say? The man of God has spoken out of this hall.
I tell you, that was a old time word, and I tell you, it was just so full of confirmation. And the earlier line we did today, I tell you, because God was talking about the resurrection, that He is, and that we need to recognize that He's alive and He's living, and to move in His power, in His life, and you know. Pastor Ricky.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just saying to a couple people at church on Wednesday night. I said, now, and a couple school teachers. I said, now y'all are school teachers, and I said, when a child continues to do the same thing over and over again, and you done told them the same thing over and over again, but you're not getting any results, then you need to come. And get a new solution. And I said, that's the same thing. And I said, that's the same thing that God is telling us. It's not the same thing. Don't work no more. And we need to seek His face, and we need to lay before the Lord the same things you were saying, but God gave it to me to just make it plain and simple that a baby could understand. So I thank God for just coming on and coming with that confirmation and what God is doing in this time, because we got to have the strategies of God. We got to have the strategy so we can possess the land. The land is crying out. I'm telling you, if you could just look at the heat, if you could just look at the heat that come off the pavement, that come off the street, and you can see it in the air, because it's so hot. You can see the heat that come off. That's how the land is crying out. The land is on fire, and it's sick. It's sick, and God has raised up men and women of God that can come in the kingdom of God, suffer by violence, but take it back by force. It's time to rise. You know, somebody made a song. God is building an army. God, yes, He says, just like the hen gather her chicks, I gather my people, and that's what's happening. God is gathering His people together. That's not afraid to stand on the front line and say, "For God I live, and for God I die."
That's exactly right.
Hallelujah! So I bless the Lord for the message tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want y'all to know God is going to have our brother, the pastor. He's going to be on every Friday night, whether he's in Houston, whether he's out preaching, but I will constantly let him know your time is now. What God is doing to us and for us, I have to pull my shoes off and just humble myself before God. I'm grateful for what God has done today and the message, because, Pastor, there were some questions said, are you going to let him come back? I said, well, I don't know. God said he'd come back, and you've answered a lot of people's questions tonight. You've answered a lot of people's questions tonight. Such invoking, such vivacious word of truth. We need it this hour. We need it. We need it. And I like what you said. We don't need no river. We don't need a little street passing on. We need it now. Now.
Yeah.
It's a noun, God.
Yeah,
we need it now. It's now. It's now. We need it now.
I don't want
the most God.
I don't want to discredit what you've done in the past. I think I really want everyone to know. I really want all of our
know that God is honored in the past, and we need to remember the past and put up stones of remembrance. But we also need to know that God is a God that's a living God. He's moving, and we got to find out what's on His heart versus on what is on our heart, on the heart of the past.
And we
continue to do that. Right now, there are believers around the world that want Azusa Street to come back, and I'm going, Azusa Street cannot come back. That was a moment in time that spread the charismatic movement of transforming presence of God like nothing before that has spread around the world. And if that's what we're pursuing, which, you know, Baptists, they would like to go back to being the, you know, the church planting gurus that they were in the past. The Methodists, they discovered that they had a method, so they want to continue that same method. So they call themselves the Methodists. So, you see, we traditionalize these things, and these things become idols in a sense that even if you talk about Azusa Street and you say God doesn't want to go back there, He wants to go further, He wants us to move forward instead of backwards. In fact, Paul says, I press toward the mark, you know, of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so even though we embrace the Old Testament, Paul says the Old Testament law, it kills, but there is new life now, new life in the new covenant, the new arrangement. And it was a struggle for the Jews, even the Christian Jews, to accept the idea that this gospel is for you, your children, and many who are far off. They just couldn't understand the Holy Spirit that they received. God wanted to give it to the Gentiles. It was shocking, but that was the condition of its day. That was something God wanted to do new. They had no idea that when He wrote that passage in or gave Joel chapter 2 this word, that He's going to pour His Spirit on His maid servants. You know? They had no idea that the maid servants were also Gentiles in India and in China and in Fifth Ward and in Azusa Street. They had no idea that the Gentiles were going to be His maid servants and His men servants. They thought it was only going to be those who were part of Israel. And they struggled with that. They wanted to keep the past and not embrace the future because the mind of God was sacrificed at Calvary. The mind of God was presented as a living sacrifice right there at Calvary. And then we have the new covenant, and we are in it today, but that covenant still remains. But yet God wants to do something through it. You know what I think the next move, the movement of God, and I'm watching this around the world, and I'm so glad I can just announce it to you. It's happening here in Houston and in the United States now. I've been wanting it to happen because I travel to India and go to Africa and India and all this stuff, and I'm watching these children between the ages of 4 and 14 years of age that are now being called and summoned by the Lord to worship Him 24 hours a day. And they're doing it. They call this the 4:14 window. We're going to have a consultation. Brother Hunt, I'm going to send you the link to that. So if you want to get it out to your friends so that we can be on this phone consultation, as a national consultation of thousands will be on the line over weeks listening to this on the Internet. And we're going to be doing consultations to find out what is God saying to the North American church. Because my granddaughter, she's 9 years old. This little girl is leading worship in our church. But in October last year, she had a need for a heart transplant. She was very sick. In December, she had an encounter with the Lord at 8 years of age. She got to turn 9 in February. And the Lord said to her, I want to use you. And she's been prophesying to us, calling us to take off our shoes. In my house, she gets crazy sometimes. She said, Papa, Jesus wants you to train the children. He wants you to. I said, oh, he did? What did he tell you that? He's telling me now. He says, you must do it now. He wants to train the children. So I start training the children in our church. You know, this past Sunday, we had a lot of people coming up for healing and deliverance, and I brought up about four children. I said, hey, kids, I want you the ones who have been trained on healing and deliverance. It was a little 6-year-old kid, an 8-year-old kid, an 11-year-old kid, and a 13-year-old kid. And they all came up, and they laid their hands out, stood there, and adults in the audience came and got on their knees, and these kids put their hands on their heads and said, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Spirit. And people were, they start weeping and crying. Ooh. These children, these little bitty kids that we trained. So it's now happening in the United States. I think that's the new mind of God, that you behold the face of God through the children.
Don't put them in. Yes. Don't put them in children's church. Don't give them a little choo-choo train so they can go to the playground. Don't give them a little pizza party. Train them in ministry. These are the young maid servants and the young maidens that God was talking about that now he's revealing to us in India, in the northern part of India. The orphans are taken to the streets, prayer walking. Their shadow is healing people who got broken legs and leprosy.
Yeah.
I mean, I met these girls. I met them in Hyderabad, and then I met them again in Bihar, which is the graveyard for missionaries. It's now becoming the glorious empty tomb of Jesus Christ. These children are preaching to Hindu kids in the communities. The Buddhist and the Hindu priests, they're upset. They're beating these kids. These kids go back and they stand under the trees and they start preaching about Jesus. And children from all over the region come to hear, and they bring them to this little house where the missionary is, and he begins to give them backpacks with coloring books in it. And they go throughout the jungles, the Hindu villages, and they preach and teach. They get the kids to sit down, draw the picture. And while they're drawing the picture of Jesus walking on the water and coloring it, they are preaching to them about this Jesus who walked on water. And you need to receive it. And these demons are being cast out. These children got demons in them.
Right.
They're homeless, orphans. They're sitting out there. Their parents are selling them to sex. Trafficking, human trafficking. These kids now are on the streets. They are now taking the gospel. You can go online and pull up children praying in India, and you will see hours and hours of video on these children preaching and singing and dancing and coming together to pray 24/7. 24/7. I've never
that's
seen
what
that like.
Need.
So I think
that's what
I think this is the marching orders now for the church. The church in America has been behind, and we're just now getting it. So I want to report that to everybody. It's called the 414 window. You can Google it up. It's called 4/14 or 4-14 window.
Okay.
And you can see all of that's happening there through a group called Transform World USA. Transformed World USA. Louis Bush is the facilitator, and he has been leading us around the world to visit these things, to hear what God is saying. And he's saying, I'm doing a new thing, and I'm doing it through the children that are 20 years of age and younger. Same thing he did through Joshua.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Greater works. Wiser generation shall be wiser. You know, and that was something that God even gave me today, was to commission the people to go out in the land, you know, and to baptize them in the name of Jesus and heal them, cast out demons and devils. We've been commissioned, and we've been charged to do this great work. And the word does, it tells us to train for the child in the way that it should go. And we must train these kids. You know, there's so many kids out here, you know, that people don't put titles on instead of bringing them in and loving on them and giving and calling them what God has called them. You know, we as the people of God, we really got to come together on one accord and do this work that God has commissioned for us to do. The land, I have to keep going back to the land. The land is crying out. And they're looking for the men and the women that will manifest on the earth, you know, of God. And that's us. That's us. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not coming back to do the work that he's done. He's commissioned us. He's given us the power, and he's equipped us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we must do.
There's one thing, Pastor Rick. What time you say you had your prayer time?
5 a.m.
5 a.m.
Amen. We're meeting over to this week, this month, every day, every morning, we meet at Agape Community Church here in the southwest part of Houston. And then at the end of that 30 days, we go to another church. We haven't found out what that next was going to be, but fellows are coming from all over Houston to be a part of that meeting.
Amen. That's a blessing of God. I'm a part of it. But does anybody else have anything to say? We got about 5 minutes left. Anybody else? God bless you, Pastor, for teaching
bless
the
you.
Unadulterated word.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody?
I wanted to say praise the Lord. I also want to thank God for the word that just came out of the man of God, and I bless the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord.
God giving me a word about, they want to stay in the familiar, but nobody wants to know the unfamiliar, the things that we never seen or heard before. Nobody wants to transform. Everybody wants to stay the same and do the same old things. But he said, a child will lead them. And because our grown-up selves keep coming to God grown up, and we telling him what we think we know, he's not giving it to us anymore. So it's starting to go down to the generations. But example for generations, the generations are being wiped out. Blacks killing blacks, whites killing whites,
mm-hmm.
kinds of stuff. So God is now using the people that want to be used, and it is time for the new mind of Christ. We have to take off the old wineskin and put on something new. He said we got to pour out of ourselves, pour out what we got, so he can endow us with what he wants us to do. We think it's so funny what God was also saying was, why aren't these churches getting together? Why aren't we walking? And I bless the Lord for what you just said, man of God, about going to other people's places, because we serve the same God. What the enemy want is the separation. He's so set on the spirit of religion and separation, and we can't even see it. We're sitting right there in it, and we can't see that we're all being separated and we're not coming on one accord. Nothing is happening. Everybody wants to be the mega church, and nobody wants to be the God church. So God is trying to tell us it's time to come together as one, and let him do this thing. Let him do what he wants. He wants us to pour out. I thank God for what you said about just coming and being humble, lay out, forgetting about what we even thought today. What we have today is that's it. Tomorrow is a new thing. Every day, God is. His people, a new word for the church, for the body. But the body has now become titles, and they're so up there that nobody can speak to them no more. God is saying, forget about the titles. I am. Who do men say I am? And I thank God for that. That's such a confirmation of what he's been saying all this week. Let it become new. Every day, let me create a new idea in you. Let me become a creation of new things. And he said, the whole earth has to become new again. Do you know the earth is crying out? He told me last night, he said, everything is alive. The trees are alive. The birds are alive. And he said, what do you think I mean when I say let the rock cry out? All God got to do is breathe into that rock, and that rock will cry out. Because he's God. He can do anything. Hallelujah. Woo! I thank you for the word. I am. It's like he just, God, I thank him. I just thank him for this confirmation word of setting ourselves out of this world. He said, what do you want to ask for? He said, set your mind up above. So everybody wants something on earth. They don't want nothing up above. He told us to set our mind above. Speak those things up. Not the things are beneath the earth and on the earth. He said, set our minds up above.
Up
hallelujah.
Above.
Wow.
Thank you.
Amen. That's wonderful. That's a good word.
Hey, God.
That's a good word.
Amen.
I just want to say this one thing right quick. Well, I just want to say that while she was talking, sister, while you were talking, I heard our elder brother say something. He said the reason why the church cannot hear his voice is because we have taken the fivefold out of the ministry of Jesus Christ.
The
pastor has taken over. And when you got shepherds who are concerned about
the sheep more than they are concerned about the kingdom of God, which is bigger than just Sunday morning. Well, that's what you're getting. You're only hearing God's voice. If you hear it at all, it's on Sunday morning. You won't hear it on Monday.
Yes, that's it. Monday, so, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday.
It's Friday. Yeah, exactly. That's the fivefold. See, we got to hear what the Lord is saying through the unified body of Christ, which includes, you know, we talk about unity in Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 4. You know, he talks about one body, one faith, one Lord.
Yes.
But then he goes to the fivefold. That's part of the oneness.
That's
to hear God's one voice. You've got to have it. But somewhere along the line, we decided that because bishops are corrupt, and apostles got corrupt, that we don't need them anymore. We need shepherds who are going to protect the sheep.
Yes.
So we got a problem. We got a major problem. So thank you for speaking up. We got to deal with that.
Yeah, God.
We got to deal. Amen. Well, you know what? God is just so good. I'm sitting up there just basking his love and saying, thank you, Lord. And I just tipped up out there to the people at the blog radio. I thought I need 10 more minutes.
I just want to say, because I was hearing a house divided will fall, and Pastor Ricky just came back and he just clarified that when he talked about, you know, us not coming together and the fivefold ministry not being established in a lot of churches. And then it's not even about being established in a lot of churches, you know, us coming together as one body, collective in a whole. And if we can look around at America, United States, we can see a lot of things that's falling, a lot of things are divided because we as a whole would not come together. And I'm not looking at an individual house. I'm looking at the whole big house, this whole big country that God has given us dominion over to bring back to reconcile with him. And we're missing the mark. We're missing the mark because there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians, and nobody wants to come together and submit and humble themselves under God. Not under each other, under God. And when we submit and totally walk in humility, and it's not about who God called you to be, but it's about us coming out here and doing what God called us to do in his kingdom. Then we can have a major effect.
Amen.
And that's what God is calling for. He's calling for all his people, not in just Houston. This thing is bigger than Houston. This thing is bigger than Columbus. This thing is bigger than Georgia. God told me he's about to have a great revolution. It's
so
about to be a powerful move of God. And it's going to take place with the one that he has ready and that submitted totally unto God.
Amen.
Offer yourself up. The same thing you started off with, Pastor. Offer yourself up as a holy, holy living sacrifice, acceptable unto God.
Amen.
Our worship got to be accepted to God. We can't just worship and it's not accepted. We got to lay it all down. Lay it all down. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. We got to have a Christ-like mind.
Amen.
But I tell you, it's about to be a powerful move of God. He's going to use the great things.
Amen. Well, I want to let you know, I got some young people that's going to come on this radio station. I must go ahead and tell you, because Rick said about the young people, God has given me some young people going to come on, and they're going to be on a special time, but October the 1st, it's when we push it out into the fullness, and I want you to know, keep praying, If I don't have your email, please send it to me because I want to send you what God is doing for us. And you know what? I would have one of you on the line to end us with prayer. And we'll see Brother Rick by the grace of God next Thursday. And we'll look for more of the Lord. I'm going to try to get connected with that 5-a-day prayer. Whoever God moves, just need some prayer.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Praise Him.
Prophet Rose?
Praise Him. Praise Him, Dr. Hunter.
Amen.
Did you? Wow. Did you say you wanted to pray?
Yeah.
Oh, I had an emergency. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we want to thank you for oneness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're giving you all the honor and glory. Father, we come to you humbly as we know how, Father God, just giving you the praise and the thanksgiving. You say, enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, O God, in the name of Jesus. God, we bless your rich word in the name of Jesus, and we receive it unto our spirit, man, in the name of Jesus. God, we give you total control right now, Father God, and we continue to give you all the praise and all the honor. God, we thank you that somebody on this line, somebody over the airway, God, somebody heard it, and God, they have now listened, and they have picked up their cross, Father God, and it's time, oh God, they said, I'm giving it my all, and Father God, we just thank you for the remission of their sins tonight. We thank you, oh God, that you have received them, God. We praise you, Father, for the word that will apply to their hearts and to their minds, God, in the name of Jesus, and God, we pray that they'll continue to pick up their cross and follow you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, we thank you for the souls, oh God, that will come forth and continue to come forth in the name of Jesus. And God, even as we speak, oh Father God, let it reach from one nation to another nation. Let it spread abroad in the name of Jesus. God, continue, oh God, to give us another chance, oh God, and have mercy upon your people today, oh God. Forgive us, oh God, when we're disobedient. Forgive us, oh God, that we are not on one accord. Help us and teach us and guide us and continue, oh God, showing us the way, oh God. Transform us, God, into a new, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that old things have passed away, Father God, and you said today, new things, Father God. Tonight, oh God, we pray for newness, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the renewal of somebody's mind today. Let it become new today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for souls, oh God, that are lost today, somebody that backslide today, Father God. We just continue to bless you for bringing in the sheep, oh God, bringing them back to the fold, oh God. Renew their minds and their strength, Father God. Renew that pastor, that preacher, that teacher, that evangelist, that prophet, oh God. Renew that backslider in the name of Jesus, God. Continue, oh God, to keep on loving us, oh God, even when they don't love themselves, Father God. We pray that you will continue, oh God, to bless the body of Christ, oh God, that we all come together as one, loving, just like you said, for you are love, Father God. And God, continue, oh God, spreading the news to every hill, every valley, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. Continue, oh God, to be Lord of Lord and King of King today, Father God. And Lord, we present ourselves, oh, we present our bodies, oh God. We take off our shoes tonight, Father God, that you will give us new shoes, God, that you will give us a new today in the name of Jesus. Continue, oh Father God, to have your way, oh God, with your people, God. Continue, oh God, today to reach, oh God, to reach them, Father God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let them know that you are still love them, Father. And God, we forever giving you praise and the honor and glory. Oh God, let the deaf hear tonight, God. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, Father God. Oh God, open up their eyes, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Continue, O God, to give, show us miracles, signs, and wonders, God. But, Lord, we just thank you, God, that one day we will see you, Jesus. And, God, we're giving you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory tonight, Father, for we know you be glorified, O God. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that he lives, O God. We thank you for he is our Redeemer and our strength. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
And I always say, when somebody passed by asking a question, when last seen, they will hit it up. They will hit it up.
Father, we thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
And to remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. I bless y'all. See you next time. The Lord bless you and keep you. Shalom. Shalom. Amen.
Shalom. Shalom. Blessings.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Blessings. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Amen. Huh? What do you say, Marty?